Next case this afternoon is In Re Interest of Defeasant.
Thank you, may I approach?
Thank you, may. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. May it please the court, my name is Michelle Oldham. I'm with Sullivan Shoemaker in Meachy, and I am representing the appellant Tracy H. in this case. As the court is well aware, one of the statutory grounds for termination of parental rights is that the child has been in and out of home placement for 15 of the last 22 months. That's clearly the ground that the court used in terminating my client's parental rights. And frankly, I've been seeing it being used more and more, and honestly, I understand why. It's probably the easiest ground to prove out of all of the statutory grounds.
It is.
Exactly. That's right. It's very black and white. Right? As the court also is aware, there's really not much in regard to parent-child relationships that are black and white. So I guess what I'm suggesting is that although that the statutory ground was met for 13 of 22, that the court then needed to take extra look at the best interest prong. I think we're going to be seeing these cases more and more with the mobility of society that we have, but in this case, the child was removed from the father in Nebraska, mother resided in Texas, mother had very limited, if any, contact with Nebraska. The record is not at all clear regarding what efforts were made. Obviously, the child was not placed with mother immediately upon removal, but there's really nothing in the record about what efforts were made to facilitate contact with the mother and the child for the first basically year of the case.
What does the record reflect as to what the mother did to instigate contact with contact?
The record does indicate that mother had numerous contacts with the caseworker at the Department of Health and Human Services. There were some texts going back and forth. The worker, the only worker that testified was the worker that currently was responsible for the case. The worker who had handled the case prior to that did not testify, but the worker who did testify indicated that there had been at least some contact with the previous worker with the mother of the child.
And did she appear physically at the adjudication hearing?
She appeared up in court
by phone. So she's obviously been aware that the child's been removed and the child's been adjudicated and the department is involved.
That's correct.
She hasn't come to Nebraska.
She's never come to Nebraska.
She hasn't seen the government.
She has not.
There's an allegation, of course, that her father legally removed the daughter from the Texas.
Correct.
That's what
correct. And I think that we have to also go look at the circumstances. The record indicates, obviously, and this, I've been doing this case since 1987, and this is the first case that I've ever had to do DNA testing for maternity. There was no birth certificate. This was an at-home birth. So I think that kind of explains my client's circumstances a little bit. I'm certainly not going to denigrate the state of Texas, but I think that there were some circumstances.
There are some cases that we've had in the past where the parent forfeits their rights to the child because they don't get involved after the child has been adjudicated, even though they weren't involved. They just don't do it. That almost looks like this case.
It does almost look like this case, but again, the record is pretty sparse on what was done. I think, again, they need to take into consideration the fact that clearly my client's circumstances were not such that she could just drop everything and come to Nebraska. I think what is in the record, I guess, is the question as to whether or not that there were arrangements made to allow visits between my client and the child. And that was, I believe the caseworker testified that there were never any arrangements made, at least to transport the child to Texas for visits.
The logical thing when it takes place would be some type of supervised visitation with the mother coming to Nebraska and start building the relationship between the child and the mother?
Absolutely. And that was my understanding from the testimony was that was to, which in the process, I guess, with the therapeutic phone contact. There was a therapeutic phone call between my client and the child, at which point the therapist apparently decided that that was detrimental to the child and stopped.
Do you know why that?
That therapist never testified. There was not anything regarding. She just felt it was disruptive, I guess, at that time. The testimony was then, though, that my client was encouraged to send cards or letters, but there was never any indication that she was informed. Did she send it to the department? Did she send it to the foster parents? Did she send them to the therapist? You know,
nor is there evidence she made inquiry on it.
True. That's true.
I'm just wondering. I agree with you that the record is pretty large. But I'm just wondering what else the department could do when they have a parent who's not getting involved and not responding. I don't know what more could be done. Maybe it's a hypothetical question.
and that is a good question. I believe that there was testimony regarding the department instituted an IDCC, an interstate contact, for the placement of children, which was denied, but that was not for purposes of visitation, it was for purposes of placement. I've never actually been sure of when the department decides they need an ICPC on a biological parent and when they don't. I've seen it happen in both cases, but apparently they did decide in this case that it was done. So they did do that.
But there's nothing in the record to indicate why that was denied.
Right. That's correct. Was that a problem? That there's nothing in the record that indicates why that was denied? I don't.
We're trying to establish that the mother wants to have contact with the child.
Correct.
And yet there's things that happen that didn't establish some contact, and then all of a sudden it was changed. And we don't know why.
And that's correct.
Is that a problem for us in trying to figure out what's the proper result of the case?
I suspect that is somewhat concerning. I think that though the record was clear that my client, even up until months before the termination trial, had been attempting to contact the caseworker saying, I'm still interested in placing with my child, I'm still interested. The caseworker wasn't very forthcoming regarding those conversations, so we're not exactly sure what was done. And I think, honestly, by that point in time, the child was doing well. And there's no argument that the child is doing well where the child is at, but I don't know that takes the place of or supersedes my client's rights and the fact that it may not have been in the best interest of the child to terminate the parental rights with my client.
Did your client show up for the termination hearing?
She did not.
I should have looked at this. I've been out of town. I apologize for not having this preparation done. So I'll lean on you. Did she enter her appearance in county court?
She appeared by phone.
Did she submit herself to the jurisdiction of the court and say, I want to be a part of this?
She was served. And then she appeared by phone and at the adjudication.
And she asked, did you let me know by counsel?
Adams County is a little bit different in that they actually automatically appoint counsel for any alleged parent in a 3A case.
So were you appointed at that time?
I was appointed at the very outset.
So you were involved with this right from the adjudication hearing or prior to that?
Prior to that, yes.
I would like to reserve whatever time I have left. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. May it please the court, my name is Kathy Baldwin. I'm a deputy county attorney for Adams County, and I'm here on behalf of the state of Nebraska. In the interest of just the end. As the counsel for the mother of the child has testified, this is a matter in which the state filed a petition alleging termination of parental rights for the appellant, Tracy H. The adjudication on this issue is held on December 2nd, 2016. At that time, the child, Gypsy, had already been in state custody for the last 22 months. The child became a state ward on October 17th, 2014.
What does the record show the state actually did during that period of time to encourage a visitation between the mother and the child?
Well, the record reflects, Leanne Tech with the Department of Health and Human Services did testify that she had been the ongoing caseworker since 2015. And she testified regarding her efforts to contact and engage Tracy in the case. These included phone calls, letters, and I believe text messages to the mother. Now, Ms. Tech did testify that the responses to those inquiries were very limited, and they had an issue with trying to get Tracy involved. Now, as Ms. Little pointed out, she just wouldn't respond. For whatever reason, they couldn't seem to get her to engage in the ongoing case.
So
and
did you contact her attorney to find out what was happening? Does the record reflect that?
No, the record doesn't reflect any kind of contact that she may or may not have had with her own attorney.
How about the junior head?
No, the record doesn't reflect the contact that I might have had.
I mean, she's represented by counsel. Shouldn't there be an effort of going into counsel and in contact with the person that you're dealing with?
Well, I think maybe it would be relevant what contact that the department had with the attorney, but maybe not between the attorneys.
Well, I'm sorry. What I'm saying to you, I'm not talking about you.
Right.
I'm talking about the state. The department. I apologize, but I didn't get any.
I believe some of the testimony during the adjudication, Ms. Tech did testify that at least on one occasion or on multiple occasions, the contact she had with Tracy was, I'm not going to talk with you, you can talk to my attorney. And so, again, there was very limited engagement with the mother.
So was the record reflect that information was given to her attorney?
No, it does not. I don't believe so. I think the department's testimony regarding their own attempt to contact the mother is sufficient, and it shows that they did attempt to engage the mother, and that their attempts to engage the mother were unsuccessful.
Well, but that isn't exactly true. They set up a phone conference.
That is
true. And then they thought that should be terminated. I've done it again, but we all know why.
Well, I think that the record does reflect some of the reasons why they did stop visits. I believe there was one therapeutic visit started, and then it was ended early by the therapist, and the testimony from Ms. Sherman indicates that her understanding of why that phone call was terminated early was because of the behaviors of the child. They thought it was detrimental to the child, and at that point, there is testimony that at that point, the recommendation from the therapist was that any contact between the juvenile and the juvenile's mother be through written correspondence or letters. And the record also reflects that, I guess, Ms. Tech testified that she was unaware of any cards, letters, or gifts that Ms. Tracy sent to the juvenile. However, I believe foster mother Sarah did testify that she recalled receiving one card on Gypsy's fourth birthday, which would have been in 2015.
What evidence is there that the mother was unfit?
Well, there was evidence that the mother was unfit just because of Gypsy's special needs. So the therapist testified regarding Gypsy's needs. I believe she was diagnosed with disinhibited social engagement disorder, which is a trauma-related attachment disorder. The therapist did testify that given this diagnosis, it is extremely important, as it is for all children, that the child has structure, consistency, safety, and stability.
But how does that make the mother unfit? We don't really know what her parenting ability is.
Well, and that's part of the issue, I guess, is why we're saying that it's in the best interest of the child, because of her lack of involvement, there's no way that we know that she's able to provide for the needs of this child.
So are we required to make that inference then by her lack of involvement? Are we to infer that she's unfit?
I believe so. I believe the record reflects, given that Gypsy's needs and Tracy's lack of involvement, there's no way of knowing that she'll be able to provide for the special needs of Gypsy. And I believe in my brief, I did cite a case in the interest of Theodore W. In that case, the parent, I believe, was incarcerated during most of the child's life. And while he proclaimed he wanted to parent, he had not provided for that child in a sufficient amount of time. And the court did conclude that it was in the best interest of the child to terminate the parental rights of that father on that basis.
Didn't they find something to the effect of the father forfeiting his right to the child because of the actions he had taken to get him?
I don't know. I think they commented on it, but I think it was basically the lack of involvement with the child and because of the child's needs and because of that father's lack of involvement, he was unable to provide for that child.
In this case, do you think the mother's forfeited her right to the child?
I would agree with that statement that she's forfeited that right because she has failed to engage, she's failed to become involved. And this is a child who, to date, has been sitting in foster care for 3 years. Been in the current placement to date for 30 months. And this court has consistently held in these types of cases that juveniles should not be suspended in foster care indefinitely to await uncertain parental maturity. And that's what we're dealing with here. At the time of the adjudication, the child has been in state care for 22 months.
Is there a particular reason the ICP case in Texas placement was not on record?
Texas would have completed the ICP site, and the only information that we were given is that placement was denied on that basis. I believe there was questions asked pertaining to why, and that evidence was not made a part of the record. So the record is unclear as to why the ICP was denied, but for whatever reason, Texas had denied placement. With regard to visits between the juvenile and the mother, I think that it's my understanding that the department relied on the recommendations from the juvenile therapist, Janice Sherman, who had been working with the juvenile since October of 2015 on a weekly basis. The therapists have been doing both individual cognitive trauma-based therapy as well as a child-parent interactive therapy with the child and the child's foster parent.
From the state's position, what should this mother or could this mother have done given the distance involved?
Well, what the mother could have done, in my opinion, is she could have started sending, as directed by the juvenile therapist, started sending letters, could have sent cards, could have sent gifts. She had, obviously, the record reflects that she had some contact with the department. She had an attorney from the outside, or from the onsite of the initial case. And so she had her contact information, she could have contacted her attorney, she had the contact information of the department. She failed to utilize those resources in attempting to make contact with the child pursuant to the therapist's recommendation. So for that reason, I believe she's unfit. As I stated, in the interest of Theodore W., the parent in that case, proclaimed he wanted to parent that particular juvenile. In this case, she may have, at some point throughout the pendency of the case, proclaimed that she wanted to parent Gypsy, but never made any actual real effort to do so.
What's in the record to indicate what step was taken after the therapeutic phone call didn't go well, and the mom was then told, you know, we're not going to do this, at least after all. What's in the record to indicate what was suggested then as a follow-up, given the therapeutic phone call did not go well?
I believe Ms. Peck testified regarding her ongoing efforts to engage Tracy. She testified that she would try to make contact with Tracy via text message, phone calls, and letters, and didn't respond. She also testified that Tracy never sought her out directly. So any contact that may have came was initiated by the Department of Health and Human Services and not by Tracy. And so she failed to initiate any kind of contact with the department.
Is there anything in the record to indicate that an attempt was made to put the child and the mother together?
May I answer? I don't believe so. Again, like the therapist recommended that visits start therapeutically because of her diagnosis, because of the behaviors that were being observed. It was recommended that visits with the mother start therapeutically. Additionally, the record does reflect that even though Gypsy became a state ward when she was 3 years old, that suggests that she may not have had any contact with her mother since before she turned one. So even 2 years prior to the state filing, she had no contact. So for that reason, therapeutic visits were highly recommended that we start there just so we don't further traumatize the child. So the fact that she failed to follow through with those therapeutic visits, but was given direction to send letters, that would have been the appropriate avenue to continue those visits.
Thank you. How much time did we take after we were open?
1 minute.
Appellant's rebuttal. Yeah.
Regarding the argument by the state that the therapist indicated that Gypsy's special needs would require more than my client was able to provide, I would like to point out that that therapist has never had any contact with my client. That was not the initial therapist that had made the recommendation that the therapeutic phone calls stop and that the cards and letters begin. That was a different therapist. And I would also note that I do believe the record does reflect that the caseworker, who was the one who testified regarding the therapeutic phone calls, was, when pressed, stated she really was not sure whether cards or letters had come in subsequent or prior to that therapeutic phone call. So I just wanted to make those clear. I kind of think one of the things that what we really do need to talk about, and one of you brought it up, is what does Nebraska need to do in these cases? I think we're going to be seeing these more and more often where we have people, you know, one parent in this state, one parent in this state, and what is required once that child becomes a ward of the state of Nebraska. And there is a biological parent in another state. And unfortunately, I don't know the answer to that question, but I think that there need to be efforts made to preserve that parent-child relationship.
What about that parent's effort?
And again, I know that the parent does need to make efforts, obviously, but when we look at the disparity in resources and, you know, that parent needs, in this case, there's nothing in the record that would indicate that. Like I said, the only real thing that indicates that in my mind is the fact that this was an at-home birth and there was no birth certificate, but that doesn't necessarily.
What about, is there anything in the record as to whether or not your client is living?
There is nothing in the record regarding that either. Let me back up. There was testimony that my client had engaged in some texting with the caseworker. So there was that in the record, that there was, or at least some text that were exchanged. So, but I think that this is going to be an issue that we are going to be facing, that we have long-distance parents, and what do we need to do to make sure that child and that parent continue their relationship?
So I have a question. I'm sorry for taking a little outside the record, but given your experience, what has been the practice in terms of connecting out-of-state parents with in-state wards?
Truly, my experience has been that if there is a parent who comes to Nebraska, they get a better chance at...
They have vouchers and things like that, right, for transportation.
Correct. But in this case, I specifically asked the worker about that, and none of those arrangements were made.
But we don't know if they were requested either.
True.
Right,
true.
Thank you. Appreciate both of your appearance today. And your case is submitted, and you are excused. And we are now in recess.
Thank you.
Thank you.